Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're continuing an amazing series of studies on stewardship. It's life-changing, it's practical, it will bless the lives of those around you. Our topic today is vitally important, honesty with God. We're glad you joined us, and welcome to the team. What a great series this has been. And I know we're going to be blessed today as we see how much God wants to bless us. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. We know it's changing our lives, and we're happy to hear that it's changing yours, too. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. And we try to read as many as possible here on upcoming programs. So here's one from Gaston in Madagascar. Have we had one from Madagascar before? We have. Okay. Hello, Hope Sabbath School members.
Hi.
And maybe that's to all of us around the world. So people in Botswana are going, hello. Thanks a lot for the nice programs which are useful for me to study the Word of God so I can improve my English. Our national language is Malagasy, but I study the Word of God in English. May God bless you and guide you to share His Word. Amen. Well, I wrote to Gaston, and Gaston, you're studying at a university there in Madagascar. But, you know, we've learned it, even in this series, haven't we, that part of being a faithful steward is you keep him first. Mm-hmm. Even when you're in university and you're studying hard. In fact, I read a testimony in a previous broadcast from a student where things weren't going well, and the student said, I need to remember to keep God first. Amen. So, Gaston, thanks for sharing with us. May God bless you in your studies there. Beautiful island of Madagascar. Here's a note from Whale, without an H, Whale in Nigeria. I'm one of the followers of the in-depth interactive teachings of Hope Sabbath School. We know he's really on when he says in-depth interactive, right? It's not because I'm an Adventist, but because of the light that beams out each time I sit down to watch you study the scriptures.
Amen.
I truly thank God for such an opportunity to get blessed. I have adopted your method of teaching the Bible because it makes everyone active in the class. And when such opportunities come, I quickly switch to the Hope Sabbath School teaching mode. Is that great? And I'm excited each time as I see people discuss the Bible enthusiastically. It's so amazing. Thank you for being such a blessing. With your permission, I'll download and use your outlines with my study group. What's the answer?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, and you can download the outline. That's the one we're all using here in our interactive study. Tens of thousands of people are downloading it, using it around the world, translating it into their own language. So you more than have our permission. We'd be happy if you download that, Whale. And God bless you in your ministry there in Nigeria. Here's a note from someone in Oregon. I'm not going to mention her name, but she's been sending a monthly gift to support the ministry of Hope Sabbath School since 2008.
Amen.
And I just want to say thank you to you, and you represent thousands. And may God bless you because you're laying up treasure in heaven. We get emails from people whose lives are being changed. I just got an email yesterday from someone on the island of Fiji, watching for 3 years, and just last month decided to be baptized.
Amen.
So thank you for your support. It's a faith-based ministry. This person writes and says, my husband is resting in Jesus. He fell asleep in Jesus November 2016, waiting for the call of Jesus.
Aww.
Beautiful. We both really enjoy Hope Sabbath School. God bless you as you spread the gospel to all the world. Well, I want to thank you, my sister. And I want to tell you, when Jesus comes and your husband is raised and you hear the news of what God has done through your faithful commitment, you will rejoice together. Thank you for your commitment. Here's a short note from our Facebook page. Sherry writes, by the way, I'm told don't say how many followers you have on Facebook because it changes all the time. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, it's almost 200,000. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I watch Hope Sabbath School today, and I'm one of the team members. No, one of the team members made me realize that just by reading the Word of God can be a beginning of my faith.
Amen.
Amen.
We talked about that, didn't we? How important the Word of God is. Thank you. At times I feel I don't have faith, but the Holy Spirit is leading me to know the love that God has for me. Amen. Thank you again. I'm praying for Hope Sabbath School. Well, you know, God wants our faith to grow. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. One last note from Shakia in the U.S. Air Force in Italy. We're international. My family and I currently live and work in Italy. I'm a member of the United States Air Force. I want to send you greetings and thank you for delivering the truth and the knowledge about the Word of God. Our church group here is extremely small, consisting mainly of visitors passing through. So about a year ago, we found your program and began watching it. It has been blessing us continually. I feel so connected to your team. Just recently, I became baptized in the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Amen.
I want to say thank you for leading me to dive deeper into the Word of God. I pray you all continually will be blessed, and those around the world, and that God will continue a mighty work through each one of you. I have a comment. I also hope one day to see a Children's Hope Sabbath School. I hope someone's listening, because I can't do it. Thank you for your devotion and commitment to the ministry of the gospel. Well, Shaki, I have to tell you that we are actually preparing a concept for a Children's Hope Sabbath School. So you are prophetic. You're speaking a word, because all of our family needs to be filled with the Word of God, right? But we're so encouraged that you watch and that you've made a commitment to follow Jesus, be faithful to His Word. I just want to praise God with my whole heart. And that's our theme song for this series from Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. And if you haven't learned it yet, you can download the MP3 file and the sheet music from our website. But I think many of you know it now. Let's sing it together like we really meant it. You know, it's such a wonderful thing when we get to tell of all His wonderful works, so that when people finish the program, they don't go, they're great, but God is great.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is awesome.
Yes.
And that His Word can change lives. We're talking about honesty with God, and that affects many areas, but we're talking as stewards about the resources He's given to us. So let's pray He'd bless. I want to invite you to join us as we pray that the Holy Spirit would bless in life-changing ways. Father in heaven, around the world, we're bowing in prayer. This is a vitally important topic, honesty with God. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that your word would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And God, we thank you that you want to bless us. You want us to trust you completely with all we are and all we have. And so may we hear a word from you today. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Honesty with God. Well, that could affect a lot of areas of our lives, but we're talking about resources, particularly here, tangible resources. Mm. The topic of tithe is intricately connected with stewardship. Mm. We've learned it's not everything, is it?
Yeah.
Because we have other tangible resources like
homes.
Our homes and
cars
and lots of, and we have intangible resources like our influence and our time. And we learned in a previous study, we're stewards of the
mysteries
of God and stewards of the gifts of God. So we have so much, but one of the ways we show our trust, and that's a word, isn't it, that comes back over and over in this series, it is regarding our money.
Mm.
Let's start in Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Leviticus 27 and verse 30. Stephanie, would you read that for us? It's back in the Hebrew scriptures, and it's an introduction to this concept of honoring God through returning a tithe of our increase.
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord.
Mm. Now, the word tithe literally means
a tenth.
And it's interesting. I don't think there are many things in the Bible that are called holy to the Lord. The Lord himself is holy. His law is holy and just and good. The Sabbath is called holy. Right? But the tithe is holy. Now, this statement during the time of the Exodus, when the children of Israel are taken out, is actually a reminder. This isn't the first time tithe is mentioned in Scripture. So let's go back to some earlier stories. First, in Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20. Genesis 14. Kyle, if you could read that for us. It's an interesting man that just kind of shows up, which tells me, I'm learning even in this study, that God has his children everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about Abraham. He just follows God out of his... There's no prophets in Ur of the Chaldees. There's no Bible yet. God has people listening to him everywhere, doesn't he?
Yes.
And apparently this fellow named Melchizedek was one of those. In fact, he represents someone much greater than himself. Let's look in Genesis 14, 18 to 20.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all.
So if you remember the story, he'd come and captured all of the things that had been stolen. And as an expression of thanks to God, he returns a tithe to a priest of the Most High God. Now, Andre, I want you to just move over to Hebrews, because there's some more insight. We're going to come back to Genesis, but Hebrews 7, 1 to 3 has some startling things to say about this king named Melchizedek.
All right, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 3. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually."
Wait a minute. What are these titles? King of Peace, King of Righteousness. What does that sound like to you?
Jesus.
It sounds like the Son of God, doesn't it? Who later will be incarnated as Jesus of Nazareth, right? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, right? So Abraham is saying, God is at work here, priest of the Most High God, I'm returning a tenth. Genesis. Let's stay in Genesis 28. Now, there's a story, and we're not going to take time to read the whole story here, but it's a story of Jacob running away from home. Why? Remember why he runs away?
His brother.
He runs away because, Dranella?
Because he had stolen his brother's birthright.
And?
Deceived his father.
And?
He's running from his life.
His brother wants to kill him.
Right?
Brother wants to kill him. Esau is so angry. Exhausted, he lays down, puts his head on a rock, has a dream.
Yes.
Stephanie, what does he see in the dream? Do you remember?
Yes, a ladder.
He sees a ladder. And it's interesting, later when Jesus comes, that he points that out. Wasn't that to Nathanael? Who's the ladder between earth and heaven?
Jesus
is the ladder. So this is a prophecy. Amen. And he wakes up from this prophecy. He says, surely this is Bethel, which means the house of God. Mm-hmm. And then verse 22. I just want to look at verse 22, Andre, in Genesis 28:22. What does it say?
It says, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, this one word's been coming up in our studies has been the word relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That when there's this relationship, it's like I trust you, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. one of the ways that I trust you is I'm going to return a tenth of my increase to you. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't know if that was a command. It's not written down mm-hmm. until we get Stephanie to Malachi. And then apparently they did know because God has a stern rebuke for them. Mm-hmm. So let's look in the prophet Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi 3 and verse 8. What does it say?
All right, Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob, I'm reading from the King James Version. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Mm.
That sounds awfully strong, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Would God accuse people of robbing him if they didn't know they were supposed to do it?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
No, I think they knew.
Or would he send a prophet to them and say, I just want to remind you, remember that, what did we read in Leviticus 27, verse 30? The tithe is
holy
to the Lord.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm.
So apparently they knew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you don't return that tithe to me, you are?
Robbing.
Now, God doesn't need our money, right, Nicole?
No, he doesn't.
So why is he using such strong language?
It's a test of his relationship with us and to ensure that we trust him mm-hmm. and we're faithful to him. He doesn't need our money because he owns everything in this land. But he wants to ensure that we understand our dependence on him, mm-hmm. our need to trust him, and that if we love him, that we will do what he's asked us to do.
Yes, Andre?
And I'm going to step out on a limb here, but one of the ways that we could be robbing God is of the opportunity for him to bless us.
I was just going to ask, are we robbing ourselves? Are we robbing him?
Both.
Well, both. We're robbing him of the opportunity. He wants to bless us.
And so he loves us so much, and the reason he's startling us is because we're robbing him of the opportunity. To bless, is that, what do you think about that? Is that, Andre said, I stepped out on a limb. Anybody want to saw it off, or do you want to say, we're with you, brother?
Yeah.
What do you think? Does it make sense, Jonathan?
I just, as long as the blessing is not necessarily monetary. I mean, just because we give God the tenth doesn't necessarily mean, okay, well, I'm going to get rich. I mean, but it is the blessing of obedience, of entrusting our lives to him and having him bless us in that relationship with him.
And so you're saying that blessing could come in many ways, both tangible and intangible. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the intangible ones are the most precious, like hope, peace, eternal life, all of those things that come through that saving relationship with him. Well, that leads us on to verses 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go there, and hopefully then you can comment in response to that. Erica, could you read? He's just kind of shocked us. You're robbing me. But I love the fact, I love you so much, you're actually robbing me of the opportunity to do something for you. Mm-hmm. Let's read on verses 9 and 10 of Malachi 4.
Okay, I'm reading from the English Standard Version.
Malachi 3, excuse me, verses 9 and 10.
Okay, it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Mm-hmm. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need.
So then the question, why is it important to return that which is holy to the Lord, that is a tithe of our increase? Why is that important? Well, a most basic answer might be because
that God can bless us.
To do that.
Because he asked us to do it, right?
Yeah.
And that's true. But there might be some other answers, right? Besides, he asked us to. Why is it important, Lourdes?
Because it reminds us that it belongs to him in the first place. Yeah.
Okay, because it reminds us that everything belongs to him and we're giving him something. Why else is it important, John?
I was just saying because it's a witness to others.
It's a witness to others. Mm. Erica?
It gives him the opportunity to bless us.
Yes, it gives him the opportunity. I love you so much. Will you trust me? Mm-hmm. I love you so much.
I love how this verse has, we all have stories of how we, you know, trusted God with our money and how he blessed us, I'm sure. But I think that the thing for me was I remember when we were newly married and the babies were little and financially, I remember thinking, I don't have enough money to buy food for the children after I pay the bills and pay the tithe. So I was in church and I read this verse, and God, and I was like, but God, please, this struggle is too much. This is my babies, you know, I can't take food out of their mouth. And I love that he says, go ahead and test me. Mm. Test me. And of course, I think it was, we were very poor back then. We were task force workers. So it was $100 tithe or something. And I know it's not always monetary that he returns 10 times, but that next week, different things came in, and I ended up with $1,000. So it was literally 10 times what I had given to him.
So that's a great sequel to the fact that I want to hear some testimonies of people. And I'm with you, Jonathan. It's not just a monetary blessing. God may bless us in many ways.
Yes.
But I think the reason he's so strong in his language is he doesn't want us to lose the opportunity. Don't rob me of the opportunity to bless you.
Yes.
Right? By trusting our relationship. Mm-hmm. All right, Andre?
This is not just a testimony for me, but it's for my church in St. Petersburg, Florida. We've been encouraging greater stewardship and faithfulness in tithe. And so we recognized a significant increase in tithe. And I was celebrating with the congregation that fact. And so we had several projects going on, and the Lord literally had a lady send an email to me from Tennessee. And she said, my uncle passed away, and we'd like to give you, we'd like some church to come and take his things from his estate. And I was thinking, man, this might be some junk.
Yeah.
And then do I have to go to Tennessee? It turned out it was right there in Dunedin, Florida, and went there. And in the house was a lot of high-end medical equipment because he was a very elderly man. It was brand-new equipment, medical bed. We needed one for our medical room, a flat 60-inch flat-screen TV, brand-new, a motorized wheelchair, and a bunch of tools. He was an engineer, and he had a bunch of tools. And then when I was walking out loading the stuff on the U-Haul truck, there was a brand-new Lincoln parked out there. And I said, and the Holy Spirit said, ask for the car. They said, you can have anything. That's a part of the estate. So I leaned over and I said to the gentleman, he and his wife, I said, what about the car? What are you doing with the car? He said, well, I was thinking about selling it. He said, what are you thinking? I said, big mistake, buddy. And I said, well, our church serves meals to the homeless. We'd like to take, if you donate the car to us, we'd sell it and buy a truck so we can buy more food, buy, you know, larger quantity of food for the home, to feed our community. Mm-hmm. And he said, give me a moment. He talked it over with his wife, turned around and said, absolutely. And I believe that was a blessing for our church.
Mm-hmm.
on a whole, because as a whole, we have increased our faith in the area of stewardship and tithe.
Amen.
You know, I think that's an outrageous story.
I
imagine the angels go, we love those stories.
Yeah.
When people trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And say, God, just, we're going to trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rob God of the opportunity
to bless you.
Someone else, that's a tough story to follow. But Lourdes.
I have a little story, not like his. I remember listening in the church how the elder was explaining that we have to be faithful to God in the small things. And I was in high school. I had my job, and I gave my tithe, but I only have money either for my public transportation to go from to work or to eat. And so I had gave my tithe, but only had the money to go to my job and just come back. And I was hungry that day. I was literally hungry. And I remember, I'm going to trust God, and I'm not going to touch the money. And I remember a few hours later, someone who I didn't know came back and told me I bought only one, I think it was a sandwich, and they gave me two. Here's one for you, and left. I never knew this person. Mm-hmm. Never saw him again, never talked to him again. And that just reassured me that God was in control. He will take care of me.
He will take care of you, yes. Prove me.
Amen.
God
yes.
says, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We know that for men things are impossible, but for God,
all things are possible.
So, you know, put me to the test. See if I will not open up the windows of heaven. Someone want to share that was kind of tangible, a sandwich rather than money, but still real. Someone want to share a testimony how determining to be faithful to God in your tithe, blessings came to you in other ways that were not necessarily monetary, but were just as real. Yeah. Ranella, I see you kind of nodding
back
there.
You know, I have never personally been in a place where it was a struggle for me. But I know that when I look back on my experience, there were times when, when I wanted to, there was one time particularly when I decided that I should give, you know, more. And as a result of that, throughout that year, there were so many different blessings that God gave me, opportunities to be used by God, that when I look back in, you know, indirect ways, I trace back to that. And, you know, it's just amazing because sometimes it's not monetary, but there are actually opportunities that you get through it.
And that's part of some of the traits we studied in a previous lesson, Stephanie, that you taught about being trustworthy and being obedient and really important.
Yeah, I just think about my college days, and most college students don't have money, and I didn't. And so the small thing that happened to me is I would tithe, and then I would pray for great sales at the grocery store, and I would always get some amazing deal and to share in church, you know. And I guess the bigger one that came to me when I was in school and I knew that I needed to go on an internship and I didn't have a vehicle. And I asked the Lord, I didn't ask for a car, I asked for another job. I was already working two jobs. And I asked the Lord to give me another job so that I could buy a car. Mm. And long story short, the Lord worked for me to be in contact with folks who came to our lifestyle center. And they happened to be helping out close an estate. And they gave me a car that had 14,000 miles on it.
Oh, wow.
And it was a great vehicle for me. But I look at that and I realize that, you know, God doesn't always give us what we ask for. He wants to give us above what we ask for. He says, test me, try me. And God,
what a happy study.
Amen.
Don't rob God of the opportunity to bless you. Amen. Now, does it matter even in the small things? We're going to talk
Absolutely.
About that. And then, Nicole, I'm going to ask you about a little narrative with your daughter. Because, you know, if we're faithful in the small things, then when big decisions are made, we'll be faithful stewards then too, right? Mm-hmm. So let's look in Matthew 23 and verse 23. Matthew 23 and verse 23. Now, this is a really important text about the big things, Eric. These are the big things. But I want you to notice what it also says about caring for the small things when it comes to honoring that which is holy to the Lord. Matthew 23, verse 23. Eric, could you read that for us?
Matthew 23, 23 from the New Living Translation, and it says, what sorrows awaits you, teachers of religious laws and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspect of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Mm.
So, for sure, justice, mercy,
the law,
faith,
judgment.
Yeah, don't miss the big things. But he doesn't rebuke them for saying, I want to honor God even in the small things. Mm-hmm. He's saying, but don't forget the big things too, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, so they had a little herb garden, and they don't forget that. Why is that important? Well, Luke 16, Jesus tells us, Luke 16, verse 10. Luke 16, verse 10. Stephanie?
Sure. I'll be reading from the King James Version. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much.
So teaching to be faithful even in the small things is important, because then you'll be
faithful.
Nicole, you shared a great story with me, and I think it would be a wonderful encouragement, maybe not only for all parents, but for everyone watching the program.
So my eldest daughter is 8. She had a birthday in April, and she received a significant amount of money for an 8-year-old. And we talked to her about her gifts, and we told her about tithing. And we told her the importance of giving back a tenth of what she received. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she says, well, it was given to me by God anyway, so why would I have to give it back to him? And I said, well, you know, because you have to remember that God wants you to be faithful in the small things, so that way he can bless you with big things, whether it be further money or just being happy is who you are. And I'm actually, now that I've had this lesson, going to talk to her about robbing God of the opportunity to be able to bless her in the future. Yeah. So I'm going to add that to my spiel. But I think it's important that we teach her from her age at 8 the importance of being faithful to God, because if she's not faithful now, she can't be faithful later. And so that's just very important to us.
Wait till you get your first job. You know, it's easy to say, God doesn't need my $1 if it was a $10 gift. You got to need that. And that's not the issue, is it?
No.
It's not the issue. Andre?
Years ago, I heard the example given. It was dealing with math. It said, you can't count higher than 10th, than 10. In other words, you keep going to the next 10th and the next 10th, all into the zillions of dollars, if zillion is a real word. So when you look at it, when God asks for a tenth, he's asking you for a representation of your entire income. Mm-hmm. It literally represents giving him, submitting all of it to him and saying, I'm returning this to work for the kingdom, these funds, but the rest of it also, I'm going to be a good steward of that. I'm not just going to waste it. I remember when I was,
good point.
When I got my first job and was making significant money, it was when cell phones first came out. And the cell phone bills, when I was just contemplating this the other day of how wasteful I may have been when I first started working.
Don't mention any company names.
No, but no company names. But my bills were $500, $700, $800, $900 a month, because the way that I obviously talked a lot on the phone. So that's when they just gave you a few minutes, like 500 minutes, 1,000 minutes. And if you talk for 10 seconds, they took a whole minute.
Yeah.
So I thought back on that and said, I really wasn't a good steward of the rest of my income by spending that much money on something that I could have used a landline for. Yeah. So, you know, it's just, as you were saying, for your daughter to recognize that not just that 10% is given to him, but that represents all of your income as a steward.
You're going to be a good steward with the rest. That's really an important point. Now, Erica, your story kind of answered part of the question that I wanted to ask now, but maybe someone else can share. A friend comes to you, and they're not joking when they say, I don't even have enough money to meet the basic needs of my family. And you're asking me, you have the audacity to tell me that I need to give one-tenth, or return, really, because it's not a gift, it's holy. That I need to return a tenth to God, you know, that's totally unrealistic. Well, you want to speak to us from experience, Erica?
Well, I've had a lot of people say that to me, and yes, this is an area where I have tested God, and I would say I've struggled in this area throughout my life, especially, you know, early in our marriage with little money and things. But when people say, I can't afford to pay tithe, I tell them, I can't afford not to. My bills don't match up with my budget, you know, with my income either, a lot of times. And the only way that it always works out is by being faithful to God in giving. And someone else talked about earlier about even giving beyond that. And, you know, my husband always says about, we love dogs. He says, you can't outlove a dog, you know, because they're man's best friend. But I say, you can't outgive God. So no matter how much you give, he always is blessing you more, maybe not financially, but I can't afford not to pay tithe, because I need to know not only financially that I'm in his will, but also in my life I need to know that I'm in his will, and he's asked me to do this.
I think what makes that so powerful, I'll come to your point in a minute, Erica. What makes that so powerful is Erica has a testimony. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
In fact, we cannot share with conviction with someone that God will be faithful and don't rob him of the opportunity to bless you if we haven't done that ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. We really can't. Yeah. Eric.
I used to live with my sister for a while, and then I had to move out, which means I helped with paying for the house. And my moving out means they had to pay. Now they had to put that, you know, on their budget, the amount of money I was paying. And my sister, I was talking to her one day, just, you know, coming, I would come home and we would hang out, we would talk. And she told me that she was looking for another job. And then one of the things that she said that encouraged me is she was looking for another job because, you know, she felt like there was not enough money. But the one thing that she said that, you know, after the tithe and that our budget, it's still not enough. I feel like it's not enough. Like the tithe for her, it's encouraging for me that the tithe to her is very important. And I think it's all close to her story that, you know, tithe, you cannot outgive God. And I see small blessings here and there. She may not always see it, but I see small blessings in their life.
So Eric's seen it with his sister. He moves out, so he's not contributing to her budget anymore, and it looks like it's impossible. Mm. But his sister's decided, I'm still going to honor God and return that which is holy to the Lord. Somebody else, what would you say to someone? Stephanie, and then Sean. If Stephanie doesn't give us a valid answer, we'll move on to Sean. Stephanie, I mean, this is a real question, right? I mean, they're not trying to be difficult. How is it going to work, Stephanie? I don't even have enough rent and food for my children.
And I think that's real because many of us haven't gotten to the point where we really would not have any food. We just wouldn't have any. I would share my testimony, and then I would say, I'll tell you what. I'll go into this with you. We are going to pray and ask the Lord to provide for your means, and let's test it. Let's just do it for 1 week, and let's watch what
God does. 1 week?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like Daniel. Just give me 10 days.
1 week. Just try it 1 week, and then I would be praying.
Talk to you, God.
Lord,
good sales at the grocery store.
Because truly, I believe that God would answer that prayer.
Amen.
He would come through because he's faithful.
Yes.
I know he is.
So you tell them, let's put God to the test.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Sean?
I'm going to say this with a clear conscience, but sometimes I'm going to come from the opposite side of the spectrum, not the person who's just struggling and stuff like that. But you may have just put yourself in that problem where you need to evaluate, am I being a good steward? You know, and that's not everybody's story. That could be very specific. And sometimes you might have to cut back and say, I'm sorry, God. Here's what you deserve. And in the, you know, other vein is the fact that God, if he gave you income, he has already pre-blessed you. Mm. You know, if you have something, then that means you have something to give. Mm. And we don't think about it that way. We always think about it, oh, we're just robbing God and we want the increase. The first time you get it, that is your increase, and he can always make it bigger, but you have to be faithful with the first time you get it, you know?
You know, I like that idea, and that kind of comes back to what Andre said earlier, that God may give me wisdom to use the 90% more efficiently.
Yes. Yes.
You know, do I really need that $500 car payment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I really need to be, you know, whatever? Now, that's one extreme. The other extreme is, I don't own a car.
Right.
I'm just trying to feed my children.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I love that thing of, let's do it. I don't think that's, what's the word? Arrogant to put God to the test, is it?
He tells us to do it.
Yeah.
Not in the Bible. It doesn't say 1 week, but, you know, put me to the test.
Yeah.
Kyle?
Yeah, I was just thinking, hearing all these stories is so powerful. And I know it's related, but it has the same point. And that is, sometimes when it comes to doing other things that God calls us to do, like keeping the Sabbath, for example. I know we're talking about tithe, but for some people, keeping the Sabbath is a very real financial problem. Mm-hmm. And there's someone I know, actually, that had a choice. They ran a business, and the business was a travel type business, and the most income that they got was on Saturday. And so he had the choice of whether to trust God and follow, you know, what he knew the Bible was teaching, to keep the Sabbath and close his business on Friday night and Sabbath, or to do what he thought he had to do to provide for his family. Long story short, he ended up trusting God, and he closed his business on Sabbath, and he put God to the test, and literally, and he was paying his tithe on top of that, and literally in the next several months, he had double and triple the business that he had had before. And I think it's just, and it's a beautiful story of just putting your trust in God. And God is not always going to bless you with great riches, but I think he promises that he will provide for our needs as we put our trust in him.
And you know, that kind of steward who's faithful is not going to use that 90% all for herself or all for himself. They're going to, because the Bible does talk about tithes and offerings. Those free will gifts, which are not described as holy to the Lord, they're going to bless because they've seen how God blessed. I wish we could go on, but I need to just continue the study right now. And there's an interesting insight, and that is when revival comes, that means spiritual renewal comes, and reformation, that means change of the way that we live, that faithfulness in honoring God with a returning of our tithe also comes. So I want to pick up just a few verses in an ancient story in the time of King Hezekiah. Second Chronicles, we're going to be in chapters 29, 30, and 31, just as an illustration. And then I would like you to share from your life where you say, you know, when I really decided to just surrender my whole life to God, somehow my attitude about honoring him with my finances, my attitude changed. Okay? Second Chronicles 29. Jonathan, you have that? Verses 1 and 2 is where we'll start. This is a little background.
All right. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father David had done.
And now someone read verse 3. Who has verse 3? Sean, still 2 Chronicles 29, verse 3.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them.
Now, we could read in that chapter, and it's really quite startling. He has to tell them, I was going to use the word haul, they have to carry out rubbish that's filling the house of the Lord. What does that tell you?
They weren't taking
it. It wasn't being used.
Wasn't cared for.
They have stuff. And
it wasn't only not cared for.
It wasn't being used.
It wasn't being used.
Storage.
It's like used as a storage room for rubbish, debris. So they clean all of that out. In other words, we need to get back to recognizing that this is the Lord's house, which is his holy temple, right? Then notice chapter 30, verse 1. Someone have that? Lavinia? Chapter 30, verse 1. What does King Hezekiah say now?
I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. Then Hezekiah sent word throughout all Israel and Judah, and he also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh to come to the Lord's temple in Jerusalem to observe the Passover of the Lord, the God of Israel.
Now, what was Passover all about? Someone, Kyle, can you tell me what Passover, we've heard about it even today, Passover.
So it was when the children of Israel were about to leave Egypt, and they were told to put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost of their house so that when the angel of death passed by, the firstborn wouldn't be killed. And it was a symbol of them trusting in God's power to save. It was a symbol of God's
word trust again, right?
Yeah. And so the Passover was a reminder of that every year, that God saved them.
God's salvation.
Yeah.
All right? And they stopped celebrating that. Why would you stop celebrating God's salvation? Anybody? Why would you do that?
You forget that your salvation comes from him.
You forget, certainly, but...
I mean, they were looking to other gods.
That's exactly right. They turned away from thinking about the God of heaven who had saved them. Mm-hmm. And they're looking to other gods. So King Hezekiah is saying, clean out the temple. It's holy, the God's holy temple. Mm-hmm. Restore that annual festival, mm-hmm. which is a remembrance that God is our salvation. Mm-hmm. Next chapter. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 1. Eric?
31, verse 1, it says, when the festival ended, the Israelites who attended went to all towns of Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, and they smashed all the sacred pillars, cut down the Asherah poles, and removed the pagan shrines and altars. After this, the Israelites returned to their own towns and homes.
So what did they do after that?
Rid of the idols.
They tore down the idols, the high places, the mm-hmm. the poles, fertility worship happened. Mm. So you see the sequence here, don't you? Mm-hmm. Calling back, the king says, I want to do what's right in the sight of God. Mm. Restores the holy temple, Passover, mm. tear down the idols, mm. and then comes in Chapter 31, still 2 Chronicles 31, verse 4 and 12. We'll read that for us. Kyle? Verse 4 and verse 12. This is important because it's all about relationship, mm-hmm. right? It's not like, oh, if I have to.
Yeah.
It's all about trust mm-hmm. in a God who loves us, mm-hmm. who is our salvation.
Amen.
Verse 4 and verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 31.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. And verse 12, then they faithfully brought in the offerings, the tithes, and the dedicated things. Conaniah, the Levite, had charge of them, and Shimei, his brother, was the next.
I asked Carl to read that because those are difficult names.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, revival, reformation, remembering that which is holy, remembering God as our salvation, tearing down all those other gods, that's why we forgot, tearing down those leads to faithfulness mm-hmm. with recognizing Amen. The tithe is holy to the Lord. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So after your comment here, I want to ask the question, it's a testimony time. Did anybody see that in your life as you grew spiritually in your relationship with God, that the conviction came, you know, I really want to trust God in everything, including my finances, mm-hmm. and I want to honor Him with my tithe and even give generous offerings as He leads me.
It's actually a testimony in that same vein.
Okay.
Prior to serving in ministry, I struggled with the tithe concept, and so my father challenged me. He said, "Son, 6 months." When she talked about that week, I said, "Wow, I wish he'd have gave me a week." But he said, "Give God, be faithful for 6 months." And at the end of the 6 months, if God has not blessed you, he said, I will personally return to you what you gave.
Oh my.
And I said, well, this is a win-win right here. You know, either God is going to bless me or otherwise. So,
I get a refund.
Yeah. It was 2 months in and the blessings were so overabundant mm-hmm. in tangibles and intangibles mm-hmm. that I went to my father and said, there will be no need. I said, I'd rather what God is doing for me than what you're because I'll get back dollar for dollar with you, but with God, I'm getting and so what I realized is that what always stood out to me after that was God said, prove me. Mm. And the version I have, the New King James, says, try me. Mm. Try me now. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes an empirical promise.
Mm. It's amazing.
Yes. Mm.
We laugh because really it's joyful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's just joyful to say, God, you are so awesome and way beyond us mm-hmm. if we'll only give you the opportunity. Lourdes?
After that episode about giving my tithe back, I learned that God will take care of me. And so I decided, why not give it all of my life? Why not trust him in everything. Mm-hmm. And there was a period in my life where, mm-hmm. for reasons outside my power, it was hard for me to find a job, drive, go to school. And that's the moment where I gave my life to God. And before I knew, not too long after that, God found me a job, found me a car, someone gave me a car. Mm-hmm. I was able to pay for school. And God was just wonderful and faithful. I do not regret.
You know, I love that concept. Yeah. Lord has said, I returned a tenth of my increase. That's holy to God. Mm-hmm. Then I decided to give him my whole life.
Yeah. Everything.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God says, amen. Let it be.
Amen.
Let it be. Stephanie.
Yeah, I just can't help but think of what my elder said when I was a young child in church. And whenever he would do the call for the offering, the tithe and the offering, he would always remind us that while God asks for 10% of your increase, he wants 100% of your heart. Mm-hmm. And I think that when our heart is there, when we have that, it's not about, I give this so that I can get, but it's about, I give this because I have this relationship with God and I love him and that's why I'm giving what I'm giving.
Wow. So it's not just I don't want to rob him of the opportunity to bless me.
Right.
I just love him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's also true that he will bless you, right?
Absolutely.
But I just love him. So it grows that relationship. I had a friend when I was teaching at the university, and he would return a tithe, and then he decided to return a second tithe as an offering, which would help with ministries in the area. And then he decided to return a third tithe.
Amen.
As God guided him.
Wow.
To needy people.
Amen.
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 Yeah. Wow. Amen.
And this was the amazing part of the story. And then, Nicole, I got you coming. So God just impressed me to share this. Maybe someone will be watching who will go, that's amazing. He said, I set the third tithe aside, a third tenth of his income. Mm-hmm. And he said, God, you show me specifically if there's someone in need. You know, no, I trust we're going to talk about the storehouse and where I return my tithe in another study, but I trust you with that. But this, you show me if there's some special projects, and I'll do that. If at the end of the month any of that third tithe is left over, I'll just return it to a good ministry that's doing something, and I could name some of them, but you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good Christian ministry that's helping in some valid way. And so he would just wait. And he came one month, he said, I just have to tell you something. He said, I had, and I don't remember the exact amount, but it was like $90.18 left.
Wow.
In this third tithe. And I'm almost at the end of the month. And I said, God, is there anything else that you want? And just show me, you know, otherwise I'll just share it with some ministry. Mm-hmm. And he came to a service. We were praying together. One of my students, his grandmother had died. And you talked about students not having much money, and he was in that group. And he did not know how he was going to be able to get home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my friend, I won't mention his name because he doesn't want the attention. My friend said to him, how much is the bus ticket? He said, $90.18.
Wow.
Now, it may have been 1975. I don't remember. You understand? But it was the exact amount.
Wow.
To the penny.
Amen. Wow.
That he had left in that third tithe that he used to give to people to show them the love of God.
Amen. Amen.
Wow.
So here's my question for you. Who experienced the joy?
Both.
Everyone.
The giver.
Both.
The giver.
Not just both. Everybody who hears the story.
Yeah.
One last text. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're seeing God work in miraculous ways as we say, God, I just want to not only return a faithful tithe, and I want to give you myself too. Thank you, Lord, as for reminding us. Give you myself too. And I certainly, like Andre said, do not want to rob you of the opportunity to bless me as you know I need to be blessed. But Ranella, could you read this last verse? While we're on this journey, and it's a joyful journey, we have this reminder in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen. Amen. So while I'm on this journey, it's a faith journey, I want to keep my eyes. We've learned that in this series as faithful stewards, keep my eyes focused on Jesus. Why is that so important? Even when we talk about the finances that come in and returning the tithe, which is holy to the Lord. Why is it, knowing with wisdom how to use the other 90%, why is it so important to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus? Yes or no?
I think when you have someone, when God sees someone that's not returning their tithe, it's a symptom of a greater problem, and that is not looking to Jesus and not trusting in him. And so to him, that concerns him, because all he wants is a loving relationship that's based from trust. It's so important every day, because you can't be faithful. It's impossible for any of us to be faithful in returning our stewardship unless our eyes are fixed on him.
Amen. So maybe he would say to us, even if you're busy doing my work, maybe especially, don't take your eyes off me.
Amen, amen, amen.
We're out of time, but we're coming back next study, this life-changing series on stewardship. Even if you're serving God and seeing miracles all around you, and yes, being faithful in your giving, seeing God work, do not take your eyes off of Jesus. Amen. It's so easy to stumble and fall, to fall into worldly ways. Keep your eyes fixed on him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. But I think we've seen a joyful journey today. Put God to the test. Let him bless in ways that are beyond what we would imagine. Tangible ways and intangible ways, not to bless you, but to bless those within your circle of influence. Let's pray we can be open to his blessing even today. Father in heaven, thank you for this amazing study. We see your heart, that you long to bless us, not for us only, but to then give us the joy of letting the blessing flow to others. God, forgive us where we've been negligent. We trust you. We open ourselves to you to be faithful to you with our tithes and offerings. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. I've been challenged. And I love the idea of saying, just put God to the test. See what God will do. Be a faithful witness. But you can't share that with others unless you have a testimony yourself. Make that commitment, and then ask him to bless the lives of those around you.